Good morning, friends. I want to begin just by praying for our friends in Iran. Lord God, I know that you have blessed us as a church where there are many among us, Lord, here that are from Iran, and I know things are heavy on their hearts, Lord. And I pray that you would be working out, Lord, I pray that you would be guiding the people of Iran and bring forth something good from the rubble, Lord. I pray that you would be at work, just as your word says, you work things out for good, Lord. I pray that you would work out what is happening there for good, Lord, and you would provide comfort, you would provide hope, you would bring forth a leader, Lord, that would lead the people in goodness, Lord, and justice, Lord. And I pray that you would shine in the midst of I pray that you would shine there, Lord, and I pray for the people here, God, that you would use them to be a light, Lord. And Lord, we just lift it up to you, God. You are the God of the nations, Lord. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Oh. Well, friends, how are you? Good? I just realized that was one of those breaths that I take sometimes. We're just like, ah. You know, last Sunday was good. Last Sunday, I felt really good last Sunday. The whole worship service felt really good. Went home, had a great day. What did I cook last Sunday? I don't know. I cook when I'm happy. Fried chicken. That's what I made. Buttermilk fried chicken. Who knows what else? But anyways, that night, a week ago, I went to bed, and who knows why, but I didn't sleep terribly well. And I woke up really tired, and my kid's bus driver, a guy named Max, he's a really nice guy, but he doesn't care at all when I'm tired. He shows up at 7:08 either way, and so I got to be ready to get my kids on the bus, and they do not go easily. Let me just tell you that. There is, more often than not, tears and resistance, you know, in the morning to make that happen. But eventually get them on the bus, and I get to work, and I sit down, and I'm gearing up of, like, what are we working on this week? Oh, I'm tired. What did I write down? What did we write down when we were planning out the week and for the topic to discuss? And it was like our identity. We were in a series on identity. Our identity as it pertains to our work and our rest. Work and rest. Identity as it pertains to work and rest. And I'm tired, and I'm thinking, I just want to be doing the second one right now. Not the first one, not the work. I want to do the rest. And anyways, I'm just trying to work. But I am very tired, and it's 10 o'clock now. It's 10 o'clock on a Monday. And I'm just thinking, is this too early for a nap? But I just had to do it. I laid down on my couch in my office. I didn't fall asleep, but I prayed. And part of my thinking was, I'm so tired. I don't know what's... I hope I'm sick. I hope I'm sick and not just getting old. That's what I said to my wife this week, because I've just been so tired. And, this is the question that I came to. I had such a good day the day before, being reminded of the truth of God that sets us free, the gospel, the good news of the love that we have in Jesus and the rest that he provides. But now it's Monday, and now I'm tired. Now I have to work. And the question that I have is, the good news we have in Jesus, can we apply it to Monday morning? Can we apply it to the things in life that are hard, when we are tired, when we're worn out. Maybe you love Monday mornings, but you have things in your life that are hard, that feel like anxious toil, you know? Can we apply this good news to our 9-to-5, to our daily life, to the difficulties of life? That's what I really wanted on this hard Monday morning. And so that's what I prayed for. And well, that's what I hope we're going to be able to see this morning. Once more, Jesus, I pray that you help us. Help me speak your truth clearly in a way that we can absorb, and not only to absorb information, God, but I pray that our hearts, our souls would be reminded of the goodness we have in you, Lord Jesus. You, Lord Jesus, you who are our rest, Lord. Be our rest, Lord. Remind us of such rest, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, so we want to experience rest in the hardship of life. Why is life so hard? Why do I get tired and worn out? Why do I get old? Not old yet, but why is this? I'm older than I was yesterday. Why is this have to be the way it is? And something I said last week that it will do this week as well. We're gonna begin at the beginning. We're gonna begin at the beginning. Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 17. To Adam, God said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. The curse placed upon mankind. What can we say about this? Well, painful toil, thorns and thistles, trouble, frustrations, the sweat of your brow, it will be hard. My first point doesn't even need to be said. It's so self-evident. Life is hard. Water is wet. Sky is blue. Darkness is dark. I don't know. Life is hard. We know this. Last time I said this, some time ago, I quoted my daughter. My oldest daughter has this phrase she says all the time. She says, everything is hard. That's her mantra, everything is hard. And I said that, and after church, one of the teenagers here said to me, when you said that, everything is hard, I felt that. And it's like, you're still a kid. We learn this young, right? It really actually breaks my heart when I have to take my little children and force them onto the school bus when they don't want to go. It breaks my heart because I know it doesn't get any easier. You know? It's like, this is actually how life is going to feel for a while. Okay? This feeling of I don't want to go and face this hard world. But the hard world is, it's there. Okay. First point, pretty obvious, self-evident. Life's hard, full of trouble. What are we to do? Well, before we get into that, I want to zero in on why things are the way they are. And we could talk about what happened earlier in Genesis chapter 3, but we're not going to do that. We're going to look at it from a different angle today. Because we're in a series on identity, and actually these verses here are all about identity. We see it there. Since, verse 19, this is how it's going to be. Since from the ground you were taken, for dust you are. Because you are dust, this is how it's going to go. We're starting with the identity of us in this broken world, we are of the ground, we are dust. Dust identity. What does dust identity mean? What does it mean when you are of the dust? Well, we saw it here. We see it in different ways. Verse 17. Actually, I'll tell you straight up. I'll tell you in the beginning. Three things about dust identity. Okay? Three things about being of the ground. You serve the ground, you live off the ground, and you return to the ground. Okay? You serve the ground, you live off the ground, and you return to the ground. This is the identity of being of the ground, of dust. Okay? Starts out, he says, you listen to the voice of your wife. This isn't about husbands and wives, and that's not what this passage is about. Husbands, in most cases, listening to your wife is the prudent choice. Not always. Most of the time, that's general wisdom. This isn't a sermon about marriage, but I do want to remind you that the New Testament tells us, live with your wives in an understanding way, which is hard, because it's hard to understand. It's just, I mean, it's true. It's hard to understand. It requires a lot of listening. It requires a lot of listening. So listen to your wives. Spend time listening with the hopes of understanding. Leave that alone. It's not for today. But the purpose for today is what happened was he listened to his wife, meaning Adam is kind of like a type for mankind. It's kind of like he is, as the scriptures say, in Adam all die. Adam is the first man. His sin represents all of our sin, men and women together, in this. Romans chapter 1 says it this way, in summarizing what sin is, says they served creation rather than the creator. Does that make sense? You listen to your wife rather than listening to me is kind of the idea, as in being of the ground, we serve the ground. We serve, being of the dust, meaning we serve the ground, as in we serve people before God. We serve the approval of people rather than the approval of God. We live for the praise of people rather than the praise of God. We live for an identity of feeling good as far as the people of the world will call us. More on this later, but one of the things of being of the ground is we serve the ground. Something else, four times in this passage, you see the word eat. In pain, you will eat of it. You will eat by the sweat of your brow. You will eat. This idea of eating isn't just about food. It's about surviving. Surviving is going to be hard. And the reason it's going to be hard is because you're of the dust. You're of the ground. To eat, meaning this quest for happiness, for security, for survival, for sustenance, for health, happiness, prosperity, to live a life that is worth living. It's going to be hard. You know this already. You're experiencing it. You're living in it. But the reason it's going to be hard is because you're of the ground. And you're going to understand this later. What I'm saying right now, I promise, just keep listening. You'll understand. This morning, I know there's going to be a lot coming at you. And just bear with me. I'm going to try to keep it simple. But if you need to, you can always listen to it again. But anyways, so of the ground, you're going to try to survive. That's why it's hard. Just trying to live. Make a living. Survive. Survive in our workplaces. Survive in our family life. When you're of the ground, it's hard to do it. And it gets worse. It gets worse because in the end, it doesn't work. When you are of the ground, you serve the ground, you live off the ground, and you return to the ground. So this is saying, you return to the dust. As in the end, all that hard work, this is the worst part. In the end, all that hard work won't work. All that effort, all that striving to stay safe, healthy, secure, happy will not work. Because in the end, you return to dust. This sounds pretty bleak, and it's going to get better. But right now, I really just need to give an accurate diagnosis on why things are the way they are. I'm actually going to read, it's not on the screen, I want to read something. This is from the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's really what we're doing right now. This is Ecclesiastes' philosophy, it's existentialism, it's scripture. But he says, I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. A chasing after the wind, meaning we work, 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 suffer, work, work. And then we return to dust. And there's nothing to show for it. Generations pass, you're forgotten, life goes on. What a heavy burden. So, if you're a note taker, write this down, okay? Write this down. Dust identity. You serve the ground, you live off the ground, and you return to the ground. Write that down. Okay, now take that piece of paper and rip it up. Okay? Rip it up, stomp on it, crumple it, whatever. Because this is the world in which Jesus entered. Jesus, the man who was not of the dust but of heaven. The Son of God became a son of man. The man who was of heaven became of dust. He took upon his back the curse. He wore on his head the thorns. He carried the curse. And he went to the ground as a man of the dust. And he rose from the dust. He rose from the ground and conquered the curse. Took the curse and conquered it. And now we're free. And someone is going to say, and this is the question, someone's going to say, well, that's good, but why don't I feel free at 10 a.m. on a Monday when I'm tired and I don't want to be working and I feel the weight of it all? Why do I feel that way if the curse is truly broken? Is it possible to feel the deep rest that maybe you feel when you are considering God's word on a Sunday and worshiping? Or to say it another way, the deep rest that you maybe feel when you have a day off or the night before your day off? You know what I mean? When you're laying in bed and you're like, oh. You know, can we have such rest on a Monday? That's my quest, okay? That's what I want for myself, and that's what I want for us. Now, I told you that it was identity that holds us down. Being of the dust, serving the dust, returning to the dust, eating, living off the dust. Identity is what holds you down. And catch this. Identity can set us free. Because, beloved, we are not of the dust. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47 and 49. The first man was of the dust. This is New Testament. The first man was of the dust, of the earth.
The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. This here is identity speak, identity talk, right? We are not of the earth. We have been born again to a living hope. We are not of the earth. Perhaps in this series, we will make it into the book of 1 Corinthians, because 1 Corinthians is another book that is all about identity. The church is having so many problems, bickering, fighting. They had a scarcity mentality where everyone's kind of like clawing over one another, really just trying to survive, trying to live, right? And the Apostle Paul is constantly speaking to their identity, trying to get them to realize that it's an identity that will set them free from such thinking. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says something that I want to stay with you, actually, that I want to say and I want you to hear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, you guys are fighting, you guys are bickering, arguing. You're acting like mere humans. Isn't that interesting? Because it's easy to be like, well, that's what I thought I was. No. You are not of the earth. You are not a mere human. You are sons and daughters of the Almighty Living God. And just as we have internalized being of the dust, and what I mean by that is, from a young age, we internalize the perishable nature of life, our mortality, our fragility. At a young age, we internalize this idea that time is running out. So it is, we must internalize that we are of heaven. Let's actually keep reading what it says here in 1 Corinthians 15. The next part says, speaking to those who are of heaven, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying will be written. Then the saying that is written will be true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The way it says it in 1 John is, how much love the Father has shown us that we would be called children of God. And so we are. It's not just a title change. And so we are. Brothers and sisters, what we shall be has not yet been revealed. We are now, but it's not yet been revealed. Meaning we are still in a body that is broken. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. However, we will be changed. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. This is speaking about the resurrection of the dead. We do not return to dust. What will happen with us is we will take on bodies of glory. Physical bodies of the flesh here on earth. Here on earth we will be raised. Here on earth we will live without perishable bodies. For that is who we are. People of the dust return to the ground. People of heaven inherit resurrection. We change. And this is something that needs to be internalized. So yesterday I was feeling it again. I was feeling again kind of what I felt on Monday, just kind of the weight of the world, work, and my wife and I, we went for a walk, and I'm like, I'm trying to wrap my mind around what I'm supposed to say tomorrow. It's kind of running around my head. It's complicated. I don't really see it. I feel the pressure. Everyone's going to be looking at me tomorrow, expecting me to say something helpful. I feel lost. I feel afraid. And as we're walking, it's a nice day out. It's a beautiful day. And my wife is walking, and she tells me, it's like, oh, I'm so worried that I'm going to fall in the mud. There's not much of a shoulder on the side of the road, and there was a lot of puddles. And to be honest, she's a little clumsy. So she's like just like looking at the ground, and she's like, I'm not able to enjoy this beautiful day. The sun was out. It was really warm. I'm not able to enjoy the scenery because my head is down looking at these things, this trouble that I could fall in. And what we have here is actually a picture of how and why we must lift up our eyes. Because if you want to actually have a sense of balance, don't look at the ground that's constantly moving. Look at the fixed horizon. The unchanging horizon. Because if I look at the trouble that might face me tomorrow, if I look at that, I'm going to feel wobbly. What do the scriptures say? Set your hope fully on the grace that will be given to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes. How are we supposed to see our troubles today? For I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Lift up your eyes. Look past it. Look past it. And you'll have the stability to walk through it. Okay? Our identity is not headed to the dust, but headed to glory. We need to internalize that. So lift up your eyes. Let me read another verse. Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The identity of being of the dust is that you serve the ground, you live off the ground, and this is actually what Jesus is speaking into in different ways. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How am I going to pay the bills? Do my job well? How am I going to not fall behind? How am I going to pass my test? How am I going to finish the sermon that I have to have ready by Sunday morning? How are we going to make it? It's interesting that Jesus says, pagans run after these things. Don't worry about those things. Pagans run after those things. That's another way of saying non-believers. Or another way of saying, that's normal human behavior. That's what people of the dust do. We are not of the dust. We do not serve the ground. We do not live off the ground. We do not serve the ground. Do you remember when I told you last week I talked to you about someone in our church here that I was talking with a week ago, and she said she couldn't handle going to work anymore. It was so hard, toxic environment, difficult boss, and she pulled over to the side of the road, and she's like, I just can't go to work. I just can't do it. I just can't labor under these circumstances anymore. And God told her, pray for your coworkers. Pray for your manager. Pray for the people there. And she began to pray. And in doing so, she found a new strength to return to work. Because what happened there? In that moment, she went from serving the ground, serving for a paycheck, working the reasons that everyone else works, to now she's returning to her job, but she's not working for those things. You understand? She's working for God as a light to him, doing the normal tasks, but doing it with a different master in mind. And Jesus said it this way, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Living this way, serving God in this way, can actually give you nourishment. When I go to work, when I go home. For some of you, work is a place of rest, and the home life is the place of the grind. I mean, that honestly happens. Okay? But if you are doing it, if you're doing it for the sake of the people, for the sake of even for your family, as important as your family is, you can't live for your family. But serve God and pray for those people and do it out of service to God, because that has a liberating component. People of the dust, people of the ground, serve the ground. We're of heaven. And we serve him and we live for him. And from him, we get strength. My food is through the will of him who sent me. And this stuff about worrying. What are we going to do? How are we going to get it? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And catch this. And all these things will be given. They'll be given to you. Earlier, it's like, you worry. Your father knows that you need these things. There is this truth that Jesus is regularly bringing up, which we could call father logic. You have a loving father. That is your new identity. We work and we worry and we strive. I need to do it. If I don't serve this ground and bring forth out of my sweat and tears and toil, if I don't bring forth sustenance out of the ground, I'm going to fall behind. My family's going to fall behind. So I need to confront this trouble with, I need to grit my teeth, gird my loins, get out of bed, and run. But we read, it's in vain. You rise up early and go late to bed, eating the bread of anxious toil. It's in vain that you live that way. You don't have to. Because he gives to his beloved rest. He gives. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you. He gives. Okay. Again, picture in your mind, you know when you got something heavy, difficult to do, you might grit your teeth, close your eyes, let's get through today. Let's just get through it. It's going to be hard. Let's do it with the strength that we can. That's the posture of the man of dust. After the service today, at the end of the service, it's very common that you will hear during the benediction, my wife reminded me of this, you'll hear during the benediction, very often, the benediction is a blessing, someone will speak a blessing, what do we say? Put yourself in a posture to receive. You see? There is the posture of life of, I need to grit my teeth, gird my loins, and work. And then there is a posture of receiving. And this is the posture of rest. This is the posture of God will give me everything I need. God will take care of me. God will do it. When we are of heaven, children of God, children of the one who owns everything, he will do it. He will take care of me. He will provide everything I need. And I just want to say one more thing on this. Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own trouble. Earlier, Jesus said, the prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow, give us this day our daily bread. God is shaping our character and teaching us how to trust him. And one of the ways that he does it, and I'll be honest, I don't really like it. One of the ways that he does it is he gives us just what we need for the day. Where, this is just a constant thing. We want to have a complete plan all the time. We want to have security that we can see long term, where we have in our mind everything is going to be okay, and this is why we want to wrap our mind around. We want to wrap our mind around this sense of security. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of times, he just gives you what you need for the day. I'll be honest with you. Last night, I went to bed, and I'm like, whew, I worked this week on this sermon more than I have for other sermons. For whatever reason, all this driving, it just wouldn't come together in my head. I just felt like I had too much to tell you, and I didn't know how to summarize it. And I was like, and I couldn't see it. I couldn't see what I was supposed to do. And I was reminded, this time that Jesus said to his people, he said, when they take you and they put you before the judges, and I don't feel like I'm on trial, by the way. You guys are much nicer than that. But when they put you before the people and they demand an answer from you, when they take you, Jesus said, don't worry beforehand what you're going to say. Don't be anxious about what you're going to say, because in that moment, words will be given to you. And on one hand, I'm like, it'd be a lot nicer if you could tell us in advance, you know. It would make an easier, you know, road to the road. I would sleep better if you could tell me in advance what I was going to say. You know what I mean? But sometimes that's how life is. God gives you what you need when you need it, rather than giving you what you want now. Lord, give us this day, today, our daily bread. Give us today what we need. Because in this way of life, there's freedom. He's teaching us how to live out of this identity that says, the Father is with me. He's always going to take care of me. He sees me and he's always going to take care of me. All right, we're going to transition to communion, but once more, I want to remind you what I said. We are not of the dust. We are of heaven. We serve the King. We live off him, the bread of life. And our destiny is glory. It's who we are. We are not mere humans. Okay, communion. Actually, I want to read a verse for communion. Go ahead and put it on the screen. For he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. First thing I want to tell you is twice Jesus is looking forward. When he has this meal, he says, I'm not going to do this again.
until, I'm not going to do this again, until I sit down with you in my Father's kingdom. Oh, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. I had a friend who, he had a drinking problem, and he loved drinking. He loved beer, he loved wine, but he had to give it up because it wasn't good for him. And he gave it up, but he said, I'm not giving it up permanently because I know I'm going to drink again when Jesus returns. And he meant it. It was a looking forward. We have this meal here, but keep our eyes on the horizon and let our troubles remain in the peripheral. So this is a looking forward, just as we said. But there's something else here that I never knew. I actually looked at the Greek for who knows why, and he said to them, I've eagerly desired. What I didn't know is the words repeated in the Greek. Actually, the Greek says, with desire I have desired. Why are you bringing that up? With desire I have desired. Actually, the word is actually lust. With lust I have lusted. And you got to be careful with word translations because words have different meanings. And when we think lust, we think, you know, usually it's something sexual. But what it means is intense desire. And he says it twice, with desire I've desired. I'm learning and I'm reminded that it's not enough to know what Jesus did. I've told you this recently. It's not enough to know what Jesus did. We need to know why he did it. We're going to share in communion today. I want us doing it looking forward to what Jesus purchased for us. The resurrection, the new body here on earth, the feast. On day one, there's a feast. I want us looking forward. And I want us knowing why he did it. And it's because he wanted to. Out of love, he wanted this. This is a gift of love. This body that was broken for us, taking our curse, as hard as it was, he did it because he wanted this relationship with us, where we can be forgiven, where we can be free, where we can live thankful lives with the Savior who loves us. So let us do that in faith. You don't have to be a member of the church to share in communion. This is for anyone who would like to partake, who believes in the sacrifice of Jesus. The way that we do it is you come up, you take the bread, you take the juice, you can bring it back to your seat, and when you're ready, you can partake, you can share in this. Lord God, I pray that just as you are the bread of life, Lord, I pray that just as you are the bread of life, and we do not live off of the ground, Lord, we would receive nourishment for our souls through your word, through your good news, Lord. Nourishment for our souls, Lord, that we would be able to internalize our destiny. We would be able to internalize our identity. We are not mere humans, Lord. Help us know that. Lord, when trouble comes our way, help us see past the trouble to our unchangeable, our unshakable destiny, Lord. And out of that, Lord, give us rest. Give us deep rest. Lord, you love us. With desire, you gave yourself for us. Let that truth of a loving Savior
live in us. Live in us, Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.